in what I hope is a made-up story from his book, The Good and Beautiful Community. This is the book that we've been looking at through these weeks of considering what it means to be the church. And in a story that the author, James Brian Smith, tells, he shares the following. He writes, several years ago, I was speaking with a group of pastors, and one of them had a story, and this is what the pastor said. This is the story. A year ago, I felt called by God to encourage our people to read the Bible more, he said. I challenged them from the pulpit to read the Bible for an hour each week, kind of like we did back at the beginning of January, not all at once, but perhaps for 10 to 20 minutes on different occasions. After offering this challenge on several Sundays, a woman who had been in the church for several years came up to me and said, Pastor, I want you to know that I'm leaving the church. And I asked why, and she said, because when I joined this church, reading the Bible was not in the contract. I know. Surely not. However, while this seems like an extreme case, it illustrates a view of the church. It illustrates a vision of the church that is, while erroneous, it may seem all too reasonable in our consumerist culture. And this view of the church is that the church exists to meet my needs. What can the church do for me? I'm not here to be made uncomfortable in any way or to have any challenges or demands made on my life. Because it's all about me. This is what this view says. And Smith in his book, he offers a different narrative and he puts it like this. He writes, the good and beautiful community is not made of merely comfortable Christians, but Christ-like men and women growing in their life with God and each other. The community exists to shape and guide my soul. The community has a right to expect certain behavior from me and can provide the encouragement and accountability that I need. And throughout these weeks, friends, we've been talking about what's known in theological circles as ecclesiology. Ecclesiology means what we believe about the church, what we believe about the community of Christ followers. And at the beginning of January, the first Sunday in January, second Sunday in January, we talked about the church as the image of the church as living stones being built up into a spiritual house. We talked about the importance of transformation in this or in any congregation. And the question is transformation happening here? Should be one that is on our minds and that's on our hearts. And when we consider this question, is transformation happening here? The question changes from what can the church do for me to how can I be involved in the transforming work that God is doing in this place, both in the individual sense as God is transforming us as individuals and in the universal, in the cosmic sense as in Christ God is reconciling. God is bringing all things back to himself. And this is what we talked about last week. And when we're thinking about the church, it's important, that we use images, that we have images in our mind. We've talked about the church as a caravan. And I like this image, and I like this picture of this image as we go along. We're carrying one another's burdens. We're a group of people traveling together, and we're united by a common faith. We're united by a common spirit of God. We're united by a common destination. And as we go along on this journey, one of the things that we're called to do, and one of the things that God enables us to do, is to encourage one another. And the writer to the Hebrews puts it like this. This is one of my favorite verses, I think. But exhort one another, encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today. So all the time. Encourage one another. Hearten one another. We talked about this not long ago. Encourage has the French word for heart, right? Right in there. Cœur is the French word for heart. Encourage, hearten. What are we putting into one another's hearts? What are we supposed to be putting into one another's hearts? And as always, when we're talking about these things, we first of all must talk about who God is and what God does. And our scripture this morning, friends, is from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. But when you go through the book of Hebrews, or the sermon to the Hebrews, as I like to call it, because that's really what it is. It's one big sermon. And as you go through that sermon, you find that the writer or the preacher has spent 10 chapters already expounding on themes like what God has done in human history, themes of Christ's divinity and his humanity, themes like the church as the family of God, and themes of the church and individuals being transformed into the image of Christ, and Christ as our high priest, as the mediator, as the go-between of this new covenant. And then the preacher gets to the so what. And the preacher gets to the so what in chapter 10 that we read in the classic language of faith, hope, and love. And here they are. I've got them on the screen. From 22, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And then let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. So we have faith and we have hope. And then finally we have love in this passage. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and to good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So there it is. Encouraging one another. Heartening one another. Putting good things into one another's hearts. Putting blessings into one another's hearts. This is the thing. Not neglecting to meet together. Not neglecting to meet together. It's important to get together regularly. There's a reason we've been doing the weekly gathering now for thousands of years. And I say this not only to appeal to a sense of history or to be a nag, but there's a reason for this. And it's because in getting together to worship together, we remember what God has done. We remind one another of what God has done and what God is doing. And we proclaim what God will do. We put these things into one another's hearts in our weekly gathering. We remind one another. I often think that one of my major roles as a pastor is to remind people of things. I often say this on our Wednesday morning Bible study, at our Wednesday morning Bible study and lunch. I often say, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard before. But it's simply that we need to be reminded. We need to be hearing these messages in here constantly, friends, because there are enough counter messages that we hear. When we go from here, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded of things like the fact that we are all made in the image of God. Things that are very easy to become used to. Truths that are very easy to become used to when we've heard them for a long time, many times. Things like God so loved the world that he gave his son for it. To hear ourselves addressed in God's words at Jesus' baptism, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. To hear those words to us, this is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son. You are my beloved child. To be reminded of these things is critical. To proclaim these things, to sing about these things. Think of some of your favorite psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're called to give thanks to God with them. And again, we do these things, we sing these things and play these things together to be reminded. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You can insert your own favorite lines here. These lines that remind us, these lines that stay with us. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my strength, my life, my song. We get together to gather around the family table, which is what we'll be doing in a few minutes, to be reminded around our family table of what God has done in Christ, to be reminded of what God does in us through the Spirit, to be reminded that one day we'll all sit around that wedding banquet table. And the writer to the Hebrews reminds us, do not neglect this. Don't neglect this. Don't neglect this. I was joking with the band earlier. I said, I don't consider myself to be a very directive sort of person. And I suppose it may be a bit of a failing of mine. And some of you may disagree. And I said, those in the band might say otherwise. I often think that it's because of my whole youngest child, don't tell me what to do kind of thing. However, part of encouraging one another is showing and telling one another in love what we can become. Part of it is showing and telling one another in love who it is that God calls us to be. What God's will for us is, what we were created for. What it means to be transformed into the image of Christ and to grow in holiness, which is wholeness, to grow in that. Smith, in his book, he puts it like this. He says, we not only need to be reminded of who we are, but also to be challenged to reflect that identity in our daily lives. He writes, this involves encouragement, admonishment, and watching over one another in love. A good and beautiful community creates an ethos in which people are encouraged to engage in specific activities on a regular basis. Again, such as gathering together weekly, such as gathering together in small groups to ponder what God is doing in our lives, to pray for one another, to share one another's burdens, to provoke one another to love and to good deeds. Let us consider how to do this. The writer to the Hebrews puts it. And the word for consider here, this was from verse 24, the word for consider means to consider attentively. It means to fix one's eyes on. To consider how to do this, to consider how to encourage one another to go out from this place and to be the church, to be representatives of Christ, to be agents of hope, and agents of service, and agents of reconciliation, and all the things that we're talking about throughout these weeks. And to make sure, as I always like to say, to make sure that we're getting it right here. To make sure that we're first of all getting it right among ourselves. To hold one another accountable out of love. We can be indifferent to one another, of course. It's very easy in this town to be indifferent to one another. It's kind of what we do, right? But we're called to something else. It's easy to turn a blind eye to things. Holding one another accountable can be tough. And it's not always about admonishment, of course. During Advent, back in December, we considered this verse from 1 Thessalonians 5, which goes like this. We urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. And we need to pray for discernment to know what is called for. And we need to pray for patience and for hearts of love and hearts of humility and hearts that recognize our own need for God in the midst of all of this. Because admonishment can be tough. I must admit, I'm a little leery of it. It's tough. I think it's good to be a little leery of it, though. I don't think that this is necessarily a bad thing. It can come from a place of self-righteousness. It can lead to abuse of power. It can cause hurt. I always say that if we feel the need to admonish or correct someone, to make sure that we're doing it, make sure we examine our motivations. Make sure we're wanting to do it because we care about the person. Make sure we want to do it because we love the person. But we mustn't miss it, and sometimes it's called for. I remember in the early days, just after I was called here, it was within the first 2 years. I was about a year and a half in of being called. This is back in 2013. It'll be 7 years this summer, actually. 7 years, crazy. But within the first couple of years, I remember going through a bit of a thing, and I was having a hard time. Things were getting on top of me. I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed. I was sicker than I'd been in a long time. It's true that no one has time for bronchitis, that bronchitis is a bad thing. And things were not good, and I wasn't good. And I was doing things like snapping at people in board meetings. I was being a bit of a jerk, truth be told. And I remember at the time one of our church leaders took the time to sit down with me and said, "How are you doing? What's going on? Because you don't seem like yourself, and this is not the usual you." And I appreciated this very much, because this is not an easy conversation to have, and they could have very easily let it go, but they didn't. And I appreciated it. I understood that it was done out of care for me, and I learned things out of it. Things like taking the time to care for oneself. Things like coming to know that it's not all down to my own striving and my own effort. And this is one of the ways, friends, that we show we care about one another in this peculiar community that we're looking at all these weeks. So we've talked about how encouragement happens in our corporate worship. We've talked about how it happens in smaller groups. We've talked about how it happens among individuals. And we need people, don't we? We need people to hold ourselves accountable individually. One Thursday night, we've been doing a Bible study with our young people every other Thursday. And one Thursday night, I told the group of young people, I said, "If you don't have somebody that you can confide in church, if you don't have somebody that you feel you can share your burdens with, then that's a problem. Someone with whom we can share questions like, 'How is your soul?' Or, 'In what ways do you need to be encouraged right now?' Or, 'What is preventing you from living more fully for God right now?" And I told that group that if they didn't have somebody like that to speak with me, and that we would find somebody for them, whether it was me personally or somebody else, that we would try and do that. And so I extend that invitation to everyone here this morning, that if you don't have someone like that, speak to me. Or speak to Pastor Abby, because she'll help you in this too. I checked. I knew she would, but I did check with her. Speak to us. And if it's not us, then it can be somebody else, because it's important. And I know we can't force these kind of relationships. I'm not talking about trying to force anything at all. But I'm talking about maybe perhaps facilitating one. And I think this would help us, because I want us to be a community in which we share one another's burdens, in which this picture is borne out. And I know you want that too. A community in which we're sharing one another's burdens and thereby fulfilling the law of Christ, and where this is borne out ever more fully as we're going along in this traveling caravan together, encouraging one another. So friends, let us continue to ask God to help us to encourage one another, to ask God to make us into instruments by which we put blessings into one another's hearts. May this be true for this community of faith and for all the communities of faith that we're involved in. Amen.